that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak as they sow the
And good morning, and it is time once again for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're here at the Radio Ranch with our coffee and our Bibles. We hope you'll join us this morning. We'll be back right after this, again, for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning from the Radio Ranch this April 14th, 2012. You know, the thoughts that occurred to me listening to that song is, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And that old wheel, I think that was what Pastor Peters was trying to get across to us, putting that song together and getting that song out to everybody, and that kind of being almost a theme song here at Scriptures for America. And that's because God doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. It says in there, as they sow, so shall they reap. How many times have we read in this word, you know, to sow things like righteousness? So that you can reap things like righteousness. Anyway, good morning. It's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Ramrod John.
Good morning.
And we've got our visitor also, our Canadian friend. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning.
Good job.
And we got a nice snowy day out here this morning. It wasn't so bad for me to just drive across the street, but these guys had to drive in from town. And, nice wet snow on the ground, but that's all right. The Lord knows what He's doing. So, well, Kyle, will you open us up in prayer this morning?
I will.
Thank you, sir.
Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We ask You, You'll be with us. You send Your Holy Spirit down to guide our words and our thoughts. Let us go the direction You want us to go. And we thank You for the opportunity to speak Your word, to speak Your truth in a format that might just touch one ear, Lord. Help one person out. Maybe this will be his only fellowship type time that he'll have all weekend. And we just ask You to be with those that are out there and guide and direct them and their thoughts also, and keep them as us on the narrow path, for broad is the way that leads to destruction. And we just know, Lord, that if we keep our obedience up, that one of these days will be the day of Christ. But we also know that it's not going to happen until our obedience is complete. And we ask you, Lord, to help us stay on the way, the true way, the way of you. Be with our families and watch over them and guide and protect them today. Let us have a good, holy day in remembrance always of what you've given us. As long as the day is called day and the night is called night, Lord, we just want to stay with you, and we ask you to keep your loving arms around us, Lord. Keep a protection up so we have the will and the fight and the strength and the humility to fight off the enemies. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's almost the Ides of April. We talked about the Ides of March when it was back in the Ides of March, and the Ides just means the 15th, and that'll be tomorrow. And so we do invite you to church on the Ides of April, April 15th, 2012, at the LaPorte Church of Christ. And you can join us there just like you're joining us here, however you're joining us here, whether it's on the Internet or on the shortwave. So we do welcome you today and ask you to join us at church tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can listen in on shortwave, and if you come to the website, you can even watch and attend live church video services right there. And that website is scripturesforamerica.org. Well, John, we'll start with you down there this morning. You have anything pressing that you just have to get out to everybody this morning?
Yeah, I was reading in an article the other day that was extremely intriguing. There was the title of the article is "Judge Praying for God to Hurt Someone Isn't Illegal." And what's interesting about it is there's this Jew atheist antichrist named Mickey Weinstein, who started Military Religious Freedom Foundation. We already know about the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Well, this guy thought he'd take it a couple steps further and push atheism in the military. Anyways, there's still some chaplains out there that have some guts, and this man understands the power of imprecatory prayer. Gordon Klingenschmidt, which, I don't know, sounds kind of German to me, I guess. But, so this Weinstein guy files a lawsuit against the man because on his website he said pray Psalms 109 against Mickey Weinstein and his family. And then, so the judge ruled in the preacher's favor. And then this Mr. Weinstein guy says, "I don't think he understands the power of those prayers." And that's, I'm like, hallelujah.
Tell me the enemies of Christ don't believe the Bible more than his people do.
I know. But I just thought it was interesting in the light of the prayers that we pray, and this man files a lawsuit against this chaplain that has the guts to pray for the removal of him and his family, you know, as Psalms 109. So I thought that was...
And, you know, because they know that the kingdom is out of their reach, you know,
they
don't have anything they can do but fight against it, but yet they still know that kingdom is more powerful than anything they got. And so, you know, he comes against it, and it comes against Christianity or Christ, and then he comes out and says, "You don't realize how powerful those prayers are." I mean, that just tells you, because if he realizes it, which obviously he does, you know, you'd think the next step would be to go for it, you know, but he knows that the door's closed for him.
Yeah. He revealed, exactly. He definitely revealed the devil, you can tell.
he revealed something there, didn't he? Because they want to keep us from the scriptures, because they know the power in them. And I think he probably was shocked, because they normally get their way these days with that stuff.
Yeah.
And so
part of the way he revealed himself was his last name is Weinstein.
Yeah. And there's another one that was pretty good. I think I told you guys about this last week or something, but somebody had the guts or whatever, audacity, put it that way, to put up a sign. This is from that Freedom from Religion Foundation here in some park in Illinois, right on Easter. Nobody died for our sins. Jesus Christ is a myth. I think we talked about this last week. The interesting part is, somebody actually stole the sign, and the atheist put up a $1,500 reward for whoever stole it and said, don't you read your Bible? You're not supposed to steal.
That's funny.
Well, yeah. So I thought it was pretty funny.
The insanity of Babylon.
Yep, that's a fact.
And that is where we're living today, folks. No, everybody tends to say, oh, this world's just gone to hell. And we learned from the pastor, no, it hadn't quite gone to hell, but it has gone to Babylon, is the biblical term. It's gone to Babylon. But I think it's in Hosea or Jeremiah, it says that you'll go to Babylon. But that's good news, because it's there that you'll be rescued.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly where that is, but somewhere back
there. I think it's Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Let me read. Why don't you guys join me in this Psalms prayer of 83. Let's go from verse 13 to 18. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Now that was probably similar to that prayer that you know, the 109 prayer. Just the 109 prayer is a lot longer, but this kind of condenses it down.
Well, you might have wanted to hold off on that one until I told you the next story. Because
God's got a time. He can put it where he wants.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, John, on the last one, isn't it funny how they quote the scriptures to try to control us? Like the atheist in the end says, don't you know your Bible says don't steal? And they don't judge. That's not very Christian. They'll throw those out at us, them without the Spirit, trying to quote the Bible that they hate. And it's just sort of funny.
Yep, pick and choose.
Yeah.
They are hypocrites.
They are.
Yes, they are. Yeah, so this one's kind of enraging, but there's a new group out of the land of fruits and nuts. Imagine that. That's calling for 40 days of prayer, supporting women everywhere.
Well, where's the land of fruits and nuts? Is that San Francisco or what?
The whole state of California.
Okay.
Pretty much, except for those that are on the ministry, of course. But anyways, it's pretty pathetic, really, reading it. But what happened was there's some woman pastor, imagine that, that wrote these 40 little prayers, one for each day, about, you could basically just pray for women, and then it gets bold later on, and it's all about abortion, you know. Pray for those medical professionals bold and brave enough to do this. Pray for our young medical interns that they have the guts to, you know. It's just, it's pretty sad. Pretty pathetic. That's a good one to hit with a precatory prayer, too.
I like Kyle's prayer better.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. But, you know, I do pray for a lot of those young girls. They've been, you know, brought up in a life of deception. And I know some of them have came to the knowledge of the truth after they have did an act that they wish they wouldn't have did, you know. So, I mean, you know, obviously I'm not going to pray alongside that woman for them and in the way she wants it prayed, but, you know, we should keep in mind the young Israelites, you know, especially the girls, because, you know, face it, they are the weaker vessel, and and we should keep that in mind and keep them on the forefront of our daily prayers, because it's a tough world out there.
Yep, amen. A lot of deceivers.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing was, if you read the comments, you know, I think there may be one or two that were pro for it, but people just quoting, you know, sacrificing babies to Moloch. And
oh, yeah.
There's some people who understand the Bible out there.
There is, yeah. Well, they've been burned. You know, I mean, how many people do we meet that they quit going to church at a certain time in their life because the church burned them? You'd think it's the last place you'd get burnt, but as we know, those snakes are in high places, and one of those high places they are is on the pulpits.
Amen.
Yeah. I found a scripture here that applies in 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what's happening. Going from bad to worse.
Amen. And you know, those out there that, like Kyle said, that for whatever reason, maybe they didn't know any better, but have done some of those things, you know, there is still forgiveness available. You know, that's all you ever hear, it seems like, from the Judeo-Christian churches. Just come the way you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. You know, you can't do anything to separate yourself from God. So whatever you've done, just come and he'll just forgive you. Well, he will if you'll repent. You know, you can't come. You can come as you are. You just can't stay as you are.
Right. It'd be like coming to church in your worst clothes. You know,
yeah.
The spottedest, the maybe moth-eaten, the worst clothes you got. And instead of getting better and at least understanding that the next week you ought to wear nicer clothes, you just keep wearing those and wearing those and wearing those. And you're just in your sins and in your sins.
Amen. And folks, Kyle's not talking about clothes. Okay? We, you know, don't want to get 47 emails that say, well, it doesn't, you know, God's not a respecter of blah. Yeah, we understand that. Kyle does too.
Well, I don't get the emails, so I don't have to worry about.
Yeah, but oh, you sometimes, you know, we hope you understand what he's talking about, but it's true.
Well, your sins are like filthy rags.
They are.
And that's it.
They are.
Yeah.
And there is forgiveness, you know, in one way
washed
or another.
Washed in the blood. Get it.
Right.
Baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And Paul, I think it's in Corinthians, he says, gives a list of type of sins, and then he says, as such were some of you, not as such are some of you, were, because they were baptized and, you know, remission of sins, and it's not, you know, the churches now, yeah, these gay, fake churches, and, oh, man, crazy.
Yeah.
Come as you are.
Revelation 14, 7. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. And, you know, those people in the panhandle of Texas, John, we came in and pulled up the news this morning on the internet.
Yeah, I saw that.
4-foot drifts of golf ball sized hail in Texas.
Was it golf ball? I thought it was small hail.
Well, it says, questions about the incredible images of ping-pong ball-sized stones forming a 4-foot-deep wall on the Texas panhandle were answered Friday when the National Weather Service declared them legitimate with a warning that you ain't seen nothing yet.
What'd that mean?
The National Weather Service said that?
Yeah. It says, baseball or even softball-sized hail could hit the south this weekend, National Weather Service officials warned on Friday. And I'm looking at a picture of a fireman standing here, and he's standing up with his arm, you know, however high his arm is, raised up. You know, it's almost shoulder height, and it's just walls, piles of hail.
Yeah.
And
I saw pickups buried up to the door handles.
Yeah. And when I read this too about the National Weather says, National Weather Service saying a warning, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
Go back and read the story. And I've got it marked here. Psalms 105 kind of reminds you of the story of God taking his people out of Egypt. You know, if you start about 105, about 26, he sent Moses, his servant. You read on through it. He sent darkness and made it dark. He turned their waters into blood. He spoke and there came a swarm of flies. And in 32 it says, he gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. And guess what, folks? You ain't seen nothing yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, like we had, there's been some earthquakes. Look at the tornadoes through the Oklahoma, Midwest, Central America. I was looking at Peter actually, book to the day of the Lord, and he says, 2 Peter 3:3, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And that's not so. These things are happening more and more. And it's just like a movie to people. I guess it's nothing's ever any different than before, but it's in front of us.
Yeah. And John, you mentioned that the mockers are here. You know.
Oh yeah.
Praise
There's
the Lord.
Another good scripture to those false preachers and teachers and Pharisees in 2 Timothy 3. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That is the day we are in. It certainly is. And how are we to be in that day? Oh, just, go about marrying, taking in marriage, going to the ball games, don't worry about anything. Just the way it's always been, right?
Well, like the pastor said about the Doris Day song, que sera, que sera. That's kind of their attitude out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met a brother yesterday, works where I work, and pretty interesting that he pulls up in his work pickup, and he's got an old white Isuzu pickup, and it's like, man, don't they like you? They don't get you a new truck. And he goes, it works, takes care of me. And I look on his hood, and in pencil, there's scriptures written all over his hood. And I'm like, what's going on there? And he goes, well, every time I run into a believer and we start talking about something, I write the scripture on the hood. So we started talking, and he knew his Bible pretty well, and it was interesting because he was adamant about baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And I was like, wow, you don't see that too often anymore. So
wow.
We had a
That's
couple hour
else.
Conversation while we were working. Okay, it was right. A blessing.
So what did he write with, like a Sharpie?
No, it was just pencil.
Really?
That, you'd be surprised how that pencil holds up because wow. I've done that before on my hood with notes and stuff. It's all faded, so it's right. Like a chalkboard.
That's pretty, that's quite a deal, because you don't run into very many people like that out there. You'll run into Christians, so-called Christians anyway, all the time, but somebody who actually believes baptism for the remission of sins is hard to find, unless they're already in our group.
I'm looking at his hood, and I had to do a double take, and I seen Psalms 109 on there, and I'm like, really? And then I look, there's 2 Corinthians, and all over there's different scriptures, and It was a blessing.
See, that old beat-up Isuzu is just the perfect rig for writing scriptures on.
That's right.
Yeah, it is. So it's encouraging.
That is.
There's 80% of us are at least somewhat of a Christian in this country, and the statistics are 15% are atheists and 5 are other religions, and one of the other interesting things that I read in that the notes about these pastors or taking up the abortion is I don't even like to call myself a Christian anymore. I call myself a Christ follower. Well, it's almost getting to that point, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, and that's actually what he said. Pick up your cross and follow me. I mean, that's really biblical.
Yeah. There's times if somebody says, are you Christian, you try to think, okay, where are they coming from? Mm-hmm. And I'll say, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ.
Right, because you don't want to lump yourself with that big group.
Exactly.
Just like Dad didn't want to be a pastor.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say I'm a preacher.
Yeah.
Well, and in fact, I got a phone call yesterday when I was in the office. A man, and he's talking. He asked why we kind of disassociated ourselves from identity. And I said, well, for one, the word got perverted, All of a sudden, identity meant, white supremacist and neo-Nazi. And I said, we're Christians. We follow Jesus Christ. I said, that's why we stopped calling ourselves identity. And it's not that we don't believe in identity anymore. It's
right.
That it got perverted. The snakes or the spies or whatever you want to call them came in and they weren't followers of Christ. They were followers of race, not grace, And we're definitely not a grace type ministry,
But you can't ignore it.
But you can't ignore it. You are not saved by anything but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you start acting like your seed line is what saved you, you've got issues, And so it's the same way with Christian, it's the same thing with what they've did with the rainbow. I mean, they take things that God gave us. God gave us a rainbow for a sign that he would never destroy this earth with water again. And they take that sign and they corrupt it and pervert it and just make all manner of evil about it, And it doesn't take away from the promise that it actually means. But at the same time, I ain't going to put a rainbow on my car, that's for sure.
How about the word gay?
They steal our songs, too.
Yeah.
We have overcome.
I was saying the word gay at one time was happy.
Yeah. Yeah, in our society.
Yeah.
You ever watch the Flintstones?
Yeah, we'll have a gay old time.
Yeah.
Right.
That was just a couple of generations ago.
Yeah.
Not even two full generations ago.
Yeah, it's not that long ago.
And
don't give them any ideas. They'll be making a new Flintstones.
Oh, boy.
Barney and Fred are together.
Shut up. Come on, guys. This is a family show this morning.
Actually, Kyle, when you mentioned that, I had written the scripture down here, 2 Peter again, 3:17-18, and it says there, when you're talking about these identity preachers and that, and not just them, a lot of other preachers. Paul's talking, I guess, here about preachers, but I guess we can throw politicians and everything in, but it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard so that you are not carried away by error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. And then verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, it's good scripture. Time for a drink.
That's the pause for the drink of coffee. And that is what you're listening to this morning, folks, or if you're listening to it later on, because these messages are archived at our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and our network website, sfawbn.com. But you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this 14th day of April, 2012, from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. The sun has just peeked through these snow clouds we've got this morning, and it is a beautiful day out here. Got a good, almost a good inch of snow on most of the ranch. And
it's a wet snow, not that cold.
But. Yeah, and we need it. This is the moisture. This is the water that God brings in the perfect season, because it is still springtime in the Rockies. And that's when we get a lot of our moisture. And he sure has brought it soft and gentle down here, unlike that 4-foot hail that dumped in Texas. Whew. And So,
well, we got to pray for our people down there, and I've talked to several of them, and they haven't been affected by it yet, so praise God.
Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, we have quite a few
down there, too.
When we read in Psalms 105, talking about in the days of Egypt, when he turned the day to night and brought darkness upon the land, those that were there in the darkness could look over on the horizon to the land of Goshen, and there was light over there. And that's where God's people were.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a hop, skip, and a jump over there. It wasn't like it was on the other side of the world. No, they could see the glow where the light was, and they just didn't have it where they were. So certainly God's protection is out there for his people. But it's not for those that just call on his name. It's not for those that just believe, and that's what the Bible says. But it's for those who obey. It's for those who obey.
Yeah, and that is the stumbling block out there. It shouldn't be, you know. I mean, God said don't put a stumbling block in front of anybody, and that's not this type of stumbling block. This is a stumbling block that will keep you out of salvation. And, you know, they did their job well. You know, they went to the seminaries and the Bible colleges. And I mean, they went to all these places to get where they got so they could teach everybody that obedience has nothing to do with salvation. You know, it's faith without works. You know what I mean? And they did their job well, and it's hard to get through the skulls of those that's been brainwashed. I mean, only God can do it because there's actually been people I've reached with saying hardly anything to, without even really trying to reach. And then ones I tried to reach, they wouldn't hear nothing. I mean, it's almost laughable, you know, but, so.
Yep, God's got to prepare the seed before it takes root, you know.
We have to keep that goal in mind, the reward, always, because it's a war. I think Richard the other day was mentioning to you about Lot. There was a scripture about Lot and being vexed, and it was because I was in Peter. I noticed it here again, and it's the New American Standard. It doesn't say vexed, but sometimes now maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I've thought about this many times over the years, and I think we can apply it to the times when we're looking at truth and we see abortion, the queers, and it goes on and on. But we have that hope, ahead of us, and we never lose that, and we can be stirred and be refreshed daily, and, well, every second, actually. But anyway, Peter again, 2 Peter, verses 7 and 8, and it says here, regarding Lot, and it says, "And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men," and then verse 8 it says, "For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds." And I feel I look, and you know, we got this tremendous hope, mm-hmm. in the scriptures and the life, and then you look in this world, and man, it's sickening. And unfortunately, they're winning these battles temporarily, you know, the queers and all that. And we know the day of the Lord events, it's going to be all done. But sometimes, you know, and we have the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have tremendous hope. But at the same time, you look at, I think we are oppressed by the, if we're righteous in Christ, we look around and it is an oppression. Sometimes you look and say, man, that's why that sermon, mm-hmm. last week was great on the double talk and the two messages being thrown at us, and we're seeing truth, and you got this confusion, and it can be oppressive, you know. But we do have this tremendous hope in Jesus Christ to bring us through, and we know that, you know, they're all going to go down. But anyway, that's one I think of quite often. You know, if your heart's for Jesus Christ, and you look around, and it's like
you can be vexed, you can be troubled,
yeah.
by the, you know, the sin that is so prevalent in the land. But, you know, I really like the rest of this verse where it talks about the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When you finish reading, where you're reading right here. Because just as, when it talks about Lot. You know, and if you're not familiar with that story, I believe that God pulled Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he wiped Sodom and Gomorrah off the face of the earth, along with all the people in there.
Yeah.
Men, women, children, animals, homes, all of it. Wiped it up.
Well, that's just a story, Richard.
And that's well, you know, to me, that story is the love of Jesus Christ.
I know, I'm just saying. that's what the...
Yeah, you keep reading, you know, daring, self-willed. Isn't that how they are? Isn't that how they are, John? They're so daring today. You know,
their thoughts were evil continuously. They're getting
and that is
closer
right
every day.
It says here in 10, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. You know, I can't help but think, John, that article you talked about, old Weinstein, you know, don't you know the power of prayer? See, he knows about the angelic majesties, but he doesn't tremble. He doesn't tremble. You know, he continues to mock them.
And keep us from that power.
Keep us from that power. That's
but
right.
But he will.
But he will. But he will. It goes on. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed. Stains and blemishes. And,
you know, one thing that people really can relate to, those who don't really understand their Bible that well, but you start talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares, you know, and you explain the parable like Christ explained the parable, and they start to see, you know, that these tares are becoming bold and brazen.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And, you know, another thing I was thinking, and I thought about this, I don't know, it's been quite a while ago, but when you're telling somebody about the parables and they are not getting it, I mean, they don't even come close. I mean, you can see that they are completely lost.
No Holy Spirit.
That's probably the ones that why Jesus spoke in parables, so they would not understand. Because obviously they're lacking some type of hearing, some type of seeing.
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, because when you read the parables, you're like, well, who wouldn't understand this? I mean, really?
He explained it.
Right. I mean, usually he completely explained it. But, you know, even when he didn't explain it, it's like, I mean, whether you think it was literal or whatever, just a story, they were easy to understand. Really? Aren't they, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they were anyway. So when you're telling somebody and they actually don't have a clue and they actually look at you like, you know, they're dumbfounded or whatever, it's either not their time to see or else they are not one of his.
I mean, and I think that's an important thing to remember, too, especially for the people out there. Is if you understand it and you're trying to explain it to someone and they don't, it doesn't mean they're a son of hell. It just might not be their time to understand it. And certainly if they don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which leads and guides and directs us and explains things like that to us,
they won't understand.
Then they won't understand it. You know, they didn't at that time.
Right. And occasionally we'll get, like on prayer night, we'll get a phone caller that'll say, let's just pray for the remnant to have eyes to see and ears to hear. You know, because we have to do that. You know what I mean?
That's true.
We do. Brent and I talked a little bit earlier, kind of on something here in 2 Peter. I guess that's kind of the book of the day this morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. But we were talking about free Edom.
Freedom.
Free Edom. Freedom. And this just jumped out at me in 2 Peter 2:19. And it's just continuing on where we've been reading. You know, those that do not revile angelic majesties, that are creatures created to be destroyed, springs without water. In 19 it says, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. And isn't that what we hear from everybody today? This is, you know, we send our young men and women overseas to die in the sandbox for freedom so that you can be free. And I've heard on news and read in papers, the newspaper reports, parents whose children have been killed in war, yes, but that sacrifice was worth it to keep us free so we can have freedom.
Yeah.
Because the sheep believe it.
Yeah.
The pastor had a couple messages years ago, way before I was on the ministry, called Spirit of the Lord on the 4th of July, and there was Spirit of the Lord Part 2 or whatever. And he tells a story, it's kind of for children, about a horse named Jessica. And this horse is in the corral, you know, and it's like the ranchers or whatever have convinced that horse that that's freedom. And her mother and the rest of the horses are actually free. You know, and it's, you know, I ain't gonna go into the whole story, but it opened my eyes, and I know he was speaking to children. I mean, children. You know, but I'm sitting there going, you know, at home listening to this, thinking, I've never understood it this way before. Yeah. You know? And probably if I went back and listened to it, I'd be like, duh, or whatever. But at the time it was like, wow, what a great way to describe, you know, how we think we're free, you know, as we go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Fighting traffic and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff.
Paying your taxes. Yeah. And go to work every day and get your four forms of ID.
Looking down your nose at the guy who wants to live by himself in the woods, you know, like he's the freak.
Right.
You know, which in today's society he is the outcast, that's for sure. But yeah.
Anyway, that just jumped out at me. They do. They proclaim freedom. Freedom. When they literally are, like it says, it's just what it says, they are slaves of corruption. And not just corruption in stealing money and that type thing, but they are just corruption to their very soul. That's the type of people that Peter's talking about here. You know? And it is no different today than it was then. You know, that's what you hear. You hear that from our ungodly government. You hear it in the songs. You know, got to have freedom. Freedom. Oh, this is why we do this. You don't hear liberty. You know, seems like, if I remember, part of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Liberty
and justice for all. Not freedom. Liberty and justice. And, you know, if you can start talking in those type terms, you can talk about God's justice, because God is a just God, you know, and He's not a respecter of persons. He is a just God. And you can talk about liberty from the Bible. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so the people think, yeah, they're like Jessica the horse, that I remember that story. They think they're free because these slaves of corruption have told them that they're free. But there's no liberty, and there's no justice, because they follow these that are stains and blemishes.
Amen.
I remember we were, speculating on the word freedom, and about, you know, free Edom, and I remember Pastor Peter's, there was a prophecy, I believe, given to Edom back in Genesis there. In the end time, that you'll break the yoke of your brother Jacob. In other words, the law of God, you will break that off, because Jacob held the law. In our land, when it was originally established, when he brought the people of Israel, the true people of Israel, to this land that he had sitting waiting because of the promises to Abraham.
Yeah, just read Micah 4 if you want to understand that story.
Yeah, exactly. And, so they, you know, they came here, but of course Edom, you know, as he does, snuck in, the tearing the wheat. And now he's just having fun. Like, he's free Edom. He's broken the yoke, the law of God that Jacob brought here and ruled by. The Bible was brought to the world from this nation. And now Edom's free from the law of God and free to try to destroy his brother Jacob again.
Yep. Like, and that's where it says we have gone to Babylon.
Totally to Babylon.
Yep.
God help us.
But there's good news.
That's right. Because that's where we get rescued.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing this world hasn't gone to hell. Because I think once you go to hell, you stay in hell.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know, I don't see yourself climbing out of there.
No.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, there again, it's like the difference between using the terms freedom and liberty. But when we've gone to Babylon, I mean, and that really opened my eyes up, you know, to just how things were. And the Bible, and when it talks about Babylon, and applying that to how we are today, or how we were 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, Because then when you see that we've gone to Babylon, you can see that Daniel was in Babylon. Mm-hmm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in Babylon. And Babylon's talked about in Revelation.
And those stories are for our learning.
Right.
And so we're not supposed to just sit in Babylon and do nothing. We're supposed to be a servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
And his judgment will come on that Babylon.
Amen.
Here's another interesting story. This is in Warwick, Rhode Island. You remember Rhode Island, right? That Jezebel female dog that was complaining about that prayer mm-hmm. in the school. That was lukewarm at best. That's that freedom from religion stuff. But anyways, not only are they just attacking anything with God or Christianity, but anything with family now, too. 17-year-old girl painted a painting that basically showed a young boy growing up in different aspects of his life to graduation, and then it has wedding rings above with a mother and a father and a son, and they're all holding hands. And people are outraged at that. What would the people who live alternative lifestyles think, you know? I mean, they're just attacking.
And they made them paint over that which was offensive. A husband and a wife.
I don't think she let them do that.
I saw that article earlier, and I thought they did anyway.
Yeah, they asked her to rethink.
I recall that. Yeah, to rethink.
And make some changes, and she said, no, I kind of like it the way it is.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. They're just attacking.
Right. Well, they are what we read. They are creatures of instinct. They are unreasoning. You know? You can't reason with a wolf.
No.
You know? You just can't, you know. A wolf understands eat or be eaten. That's all a wolf understands. Well, one day.
Still snowing up there?
It's snowing more.
It actually is.
It is. Yeah. Woo-hoo.
I don't know. For some reason, it makes my coffee taste better.
Oh, it does. It does.
The colder it is, the better the coffee
goes. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, not too good on a hot day, but we still seem to drink it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we do have about 10 minutes left here. Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This program is brought to you by the saints that are out there, the saints that support this ministry, Scriptures for America, and the local church, the LaPorte Church of Christ in LaPorte, Colorado. Again, we invite you to church tomorrow morning, the Ides of April. That just doesn't ring like the Ides of March. But anyway, tomorrow we will have church, 10 o'clock in the morning, the good Lord willing, depending on the snow. Hopefully we'll all be there, but we will have church services. So we do invite you there. You can go, again, to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can tune in to the video. There's a place right there you can click for the video link. Even if you have an iPhone, there's an iPhone app right there. You can click right there and watch the video on your iPhone if that's what you have. We got a letter the other day. I think maybe I read it on Wednesday night prayer meeting, but a person that said they listened to us on shortwave for a certain amount of time, and then they flip over to their daughter's iPhone and listen in when maybe the shortwave gets a little staticky. So I thought that was interesting. Might as well use that technology to your advantage if you can. And but we will have church services starting at 10 a.m. Mountain. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. So the East
Don't forget
Coast
about Branson. That'll be here before you know it.
Absolutely. Branson, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. If you want to know what we're doing and when we're doing it there in Branson, you can, again, go to our website. We have the information there. It's in our Dragon Slayer newsletters, Volume 2 and 3, that are there at the website. And if you do want to come to Branson, you can't just show up. You do have to send a registration in, and you can get that registration out of those newsletters. It's also right at the website. You can click on it. It's in a PDF file, and you can fill that out and send it in. You can register online, but you do need to register if you want to come to Branson.
There'll be a message there, too, by the pastor.
Yes.
There'll be messages from others, but good thing for families or whoever's out there that's lonely is there's time there to have fellowship and prayer together, time to mourn together if you need to mourn, a time to rejoice together.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we're supposed to do for one another. We're supposed to be a working body of Christ. And when you start reading the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12, they both talk about the body at work. And, you know, most of us, especially you out there, because I was out there, it's hard to be part of a working body because you're alone. But there you can be a working body. There'll be a hand there. There'll be a foot there. There'll be a back there, a nose there. I mean, where so many times, you know, all you're looking at is a hand all day long, or, you know, whatever your gifts are, or, you know, maybe your buddy is just exactly like you. And so basically you have the same thoughts, you have the same characteristics, you have the same, gifts, same spirit, but you're not a full body, you know, even though the full body is there. But when you get together at these meetings, you know, and there's always snakes there, the Word of God is true. There's always snakes there. You know, sometimes there's less than others, you know, but there's gonna be the body of Christ there. And there'll be many members with many different gifts, but all the same spirit, you know. And it's great.
Amen.
Reminds me, did we read the other night, Richard, Hebrews 10:23-25?
Go ahead. Yeah, if you got it there.
I've got it handy here.
I'm over in Ecclesiastes.
And what Kyle was saying there reminded me of that. And Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And we are certainly seeing the day drawing near.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. The other night I listened to Richard's show. He had Brent on then. And I'm telling you, there was edification. I mean, there really was. I mean, I talk to Richard every day, you know. And I don't walk out of the office, go get in the tractor and think, man, that edified me. But I listened to the show the other night, you know, and I don't even remember which part, but when the show was done, I had been edified. I had been exhorted. I had been given a little bit of, let's fight on. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, and you get that in Branson, and praise you get that Lord. In these you gatherings
do.
Too.
You do. You do.
And it's very needed.
I've shared that very thing with Brent, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, we have. It's been they've been able to come out and stay a week, and it's been same word, edifying. It's encouraging.
Yeah,
it is. And Branson is sure that, you know, we talk about how you don't get much sleep, and it's just going, going,
true.
Going. But it's because of the fellowship.
Yeah.
You know,
it
really is, and that
Holy
fellowship.
Spirit. Jesus Christ is in the midst of us.
Amen. Well, when all the services are done, you know, you don't go crash because you want to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to maybe go where they're playing their guitars and singing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and things, so it's right. midnight or one before you actually climb in bed. You know?
And it's interesting that, you know, in working the schedule out and seeing the pastor do that over the years, he always included that in there, time for fellowship.
Yeah.
He understood how important that was. Yeah. And what a desire it is for the people, and what a need there is for it.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many that are out there that they get the newsletter, they get used to get the tapes, now they get the CDs, maybe the DVD church that we mail out, but that might be it. And Branson is certainly, you know, these camps and conferences, mainly Branson, is an opportunity to come, to be edified, to edify others.
Mm-hmm.
To meet new friends,
yeah.
to kind of come to the family reunion kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And maybe people you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. And you need to
make... Filling up quick.
Yeah, need to make a way, too, because you can... I remember a couple of years ago, you know, going to go, and you're thinking, oh, you just sort of feeling down. I don't know, you know, and that's the devil,
yeah.
you know, coming in. And so people are isolated you know, you find a way, and I will guarantee this, absolutely, I'll guarantee this, that, it's, you know, as long as you're in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized, if not, come and get baptized. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you will be edified. The Holy Spirit, you will be stirred and blessed. And amen. I have a friend back home. I would love to see him get there. He was there in 09. He needs to be there, I believe. And there's many others out there like that. If there's one that I know, a dear friend, then that I know there's many brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ out there that are being getting hit, kicked around, and God has provided this. And, you know, he'll get you there. We do this in faith, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you need it and you want to be there, he'll get you there. And John said there's help too.
Yep. You know, the pastor would say, you never know when it's going to be the last Branson.
Yeah.
And
more and more these days.
That's right. And, you know, last year was his last Branson.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Kyle mentioned it earlier. I think it was Kyle in your opening prayer. We have to work as long as it's day. As long as day is day and night is night, we have to do, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, we do try to edify. We do try to build up, to encourage, to stimulate in his footsteps. Because our pastor did it in the footsteps of Christ. And Branson is one of the ways to do that. We do encourage you.
And seeing as how I'm the guest, I'm going to read, or we should read, Acts 2.38.
And that's what we're going to have to close out with, because we're almost out of time.
You get in trouble if you keep saying it, so I'll
go
be
ahead.
The guest here.
And this is from Canada. It works in Canada,
yeah,
too,
well,
doesn't it?
Well, Kyle, you can do 2.38. I'm going to read Mark 16:16 first, give you time there. Mark 16:16 says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
But he who has believed, pardon me, he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And that's pretty clear.
And in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Jesus said, we are clean already. So if we have been baptized and we have the Holy Spirit, and if we're down, we can get right now, not, you know, the Billy Graham thing, they come and rededicate and that. Well, you know, there is something in there. Rededicate yourself.
Sure. Every Sunday, again, take communion and rededicate yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's not be down. If we're down, we have the Spirit in us, and Jesus Christ dwells in us, and let's edify one another and get going.
Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Our address, if you want to write, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email, preacher@sfaw.org. Guys, see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, big high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Big high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.
Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hides. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake hides.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.